count the phrase until the death of the high priest, or something that refers to that. See if you can locate the numbers which are there. Numbers 35, and watch for that phrase, until the death of the high priest. Come, brother, and read. Thank you.
Verses 13, please stand. Verses 13 to the end. I did have my thing in there. 35. Isn't it good to have the blessed hope in our hearts this morning?
Amen.
Yeah. I get this down a little bit. Okay. Verse 13. And these cities, which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with an hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight, that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. For he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought him harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge. Whether he was fled, and he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood shall slay, the revenger of blood kill the slayer, okay, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statue of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of the witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. Amen.
You may be seated. Brother Mark Mayer is going to come and lead us in prayer. Just wait for us. Invite these friends to come in and join us in prayer, please.
Go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning, Lord, and for what was read from the book of Numbers, Lord. We thank you that we have a place, Lord, where we can come and meet together without any fears, Lord, and we can open up your word safely, secure, because you have provided refuge for us here, Lord, and we thank you so much for that privilege. We know that so many don't have that privilege around the world, Lord. And Lord, just help us to be diligent here so that we don't lose that privilege or take it for granted, Lord, but help commit it to our hearts, Lord. Heavenly Father, you've given us the scripture to help us to understand a portion that I'm sure will be taught later, Lord. And I just pray that you'll help us to understand how they relate one to another, Lord. And help Pastor as he teaches us today. And help us to be learning and of a learning heart, Lord, growing and feeding off of your word. That's what we're really here for today, Lord, is to learn from your word and be changed by it so that we can know you fuller, Lord, and worship you in a way of more understanding, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the hymns that we sung here, Lord, and we thank you for the music that you've preserved in this church. And just pray that you'll continue to bless us with beautiful Christian music here in this assembly, Lord. And help us to not go the way of society to try to draw bigger numbers, Lord, but just help to sanctify those who are here, Lord. Heavenly Father, I also thank you for Brother Jordan as he read the word, Lord. And I just want to pray for him and his wife. And I pray, Lord, that you will give her the physical capability so that she can be here with God's people on your day, Lord. And pray for the others in our assembly that are ill, Lord. Thank you for Mrs. Balakovich and for what you've done in her life and bringing her back here, Lord. Thank you for answering those prayers. Thank you for Brother Beard and his wife, Lord, and for the Cornelakises and for Mrs. Worthington and for Mrs. Pinero and Mrs. Pine. And for so many more, for Pastor and Mrs. Sachs, Lord. We just thank you for the old people who are in our assembly who we can learn from, Lord, as we learned last week in regard to learning from the older, wiser women, Lord. And we just pray that we will not neglect to get to know these sweet brothers and sisters while we're here, Lord. Father, I also thank you for the new one that's here among us, Lord, for the new Kangas. And thank you for what you did for Casey and Becca, Lord. And we just pray for Matt and Naomi as they expect another newborn, Lord. And just pray that you'll bless that pregnancy and delivery, Lord. Thank you for the other young ones that have been born here recently, for Carter William and for David, Lord. We have a great opportunity to witness to these young children here, Lord. And we just pray for the parents and for the husbands, the wives, Lord, that in the family, Lord, you will be honored and given the proper time, Lord. Help us to not get caught up wasting our time with vain things, Lord, but help us to really focus on souls and upon your purposes, Lord. And Lord, we just want to pray also for some of the things in our government recently, Lord, with this new court nomination, Lord. We pray that this Judge Alito would be one that would be pleasing in your sight, Lord, and that it wouldn't be a deception as some have been in the past, Lord. And we just pray that one day that Roe versus Wade will be overturned in this country, Lord. Even though it may not be around the world, Lord, help us to be a light among people who don't reverence your name, Lord. And Father, I just pray also for the school systems, that this idea of evolution, Lord, would not be taught, and that creation would be taught in the schools, Lord, and that as we learn today, that the whole Bible would be upheld, Genesis 1 through 10 in particular, Lord, as it relates to our entire salvation. Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to bless the rest of this service, and I pray for the potluck too, Lord, and pray that people will stay around for that and get to know one another, Lord. We're here to get to know our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to not run away and be distracted by other things, Lord. And I pray also for tonight at the Lord's table that people will be there and to really think about it the whole day long. And it's just a wonderful blessing that you've given us to remember in particular what the Lord did for us at the cross, and to have given us a particular meeting where we can just focus on that, Lord. And I just pray that we won't take that for granted today, Lord. We just thank you so much, and we just praise your name, and we pray in your Son's name with thanksgiving. Amen.
For those who do not know Mark Mayer, he's been around here for about 6 years. The Lord got hold of his life and changed him radically. And it's just a joy to have his fellowship in the things of the Lord in our assembly. And many of you people have had him over to your homes. If you haven't, look out, because he's on his way. He has a wonderful way to find places to eat. And it's a joy to have him sit around the table. When he comes to our place, he say, we hold hands, and I say, of course, it's your turn to pray. And so it's such a joy to have you here today and be a part of our ministry. I want to say a word of praise to the Lord for the opportunity we had yesterday to hear Michelle play so beautifully, and two of her little kids pound away at the piano. And I don't know if you noticed, my wife and me, but we smiled every time we saw these kids go up there, because that was like our children years ago. I hope you can hang on to these kids and that they'll stick around. Our boys gave up the ghost. and when they went off to university, they promised us with both hands, yes, we will continue, but they never did. But in any case, it was a very gracious time together. Thank you very much. And David did a great job in presenting his sister, and praying at the end of the service. And his parents were there in bright colors as well. So it was a real joy. For those of you who didn't have the opportunity to go, just to ask. I think there were about 14 or 15 of us who arrived there yesterday. We were totally outnumbered by the people from Howell, but that's okay. We did have a good showing from Ann Arbor. Yeah. I want to recognize some guests with us today. One is a real joy to me to see, because I haven't seen this young man for a long time. It's Michael Yoon. Please stand, Michael. Good to see you, boy. Praise the Lord. Thank you. It was his father who went home to be with the Lord in a sudden way. And Brother Bill Beard knows what this kind of thing means, and I do also. And the Lord spared him gave me a different arrangement and took Dr. Yoon. God has different plans for different people. And it's ours to say, Lord, everything according to thy will and thy purpose. I pray for our sister, Sunny, and her day-by-day concerns, that the Lord may satisfy them according to his precious will. Brother Casey, I want to know, is the little baby in town? In town, but in the church? All right, well, Becky, there's your chance after... You wait. Yes, you stay here for the sermon. You can go afterwards. But that's great. I'm sure that's going to be a very great attraction. People want to go up and see that baby. But maybe you can bring her down and she can have participation or potluck with us. Yeah. Okay. And I do want to say that you are most welcome to stay for the potluck. Most of those who brought food has brought more than they could possibly eat as a family, so don't feel that because you didn't bring something, you must run off. You are welcome to stay. And it's always a joy, as our brother prayed, to sit around the table and get to know one another in a better way and in a different way than whether you just see us and shake hands or something like that. So if you watch me, I go to the dessert table first. And that's the best thing, because there are other people running after Naomi's chocolate pudding, and I try to get it before everybody else does. But at any rate, please join us and share with us in the Lord. And it's so nice to have you today. Thank you for coming back, Becky. We wondered if you were ever going to return, but at any rate, she's here with us today. And then on this side of the congregation, we have a friend from Denmark. And so... Danae, will you introduce her to us, please? Well, thank you. Nice to have you, Jenny. Thank you very kindly. Yes. Has anybody been in Denmark? Yeah. Yes. You have been there too, Laura? That's nice. Yes, we were there too. Very nice place. All right. Just read the notices in the bulletin for your attention, please. And we just trust that what concerns you will be attended to in the will and purpose of the Lord. Now it's an opportunity to give to the Lord's work. If you have some of the Lord's money, our sister Andy Smith is going to play for us. And following that, we'll stand up and sing the doxology. So if you have some of the Lord's money, it's your opportunity to give now. Thank you. Stand, please. James Widgeon, would you kindly lead us in our prayer of thanksgiving?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for your love towards us, for allowing us to gather this morning in this room,
Amen.
The house of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for these gifts which have been received, so that the work of this local place can go forward. We ask that everything that will be done with these gifts will be to the glory and praise of the Almighty God. We pray with thanks in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Our sister Naomi is going to sing for us now. And following that, are the children going out today? Yes. All right. Thank you. They'll sing a song before the preaching of the Word of God to give the opportunities for people to go out. By the way, I made a mistake here. Our brother Jim has come back today for us. And he came to us for many, many years, and he's made an appearance this morning. And we're so happy to have you, my brother. Thank you very, very much for coming. This man walks wherever he goes.
Not everywhere.
Yeah. But you walked from home this morning, didn't you? Yes. That's down near the campus, and he walks here. I think that Daniel might take some words of comfort from this brother. The other Wednesday, last Wednesday night, Daniel walked from the Huron High School over here. It took him an hour and 15 minutes to get here, but he came. We praise the Lord for that. But that reminds me, and I told Daniel about this, in Africa, people walk 10 miles and think nothing of it. And we got so spoiled here, we've got to drive up to get our hamburger. And our cleaning stuff, it's just ridiculous, but that's the quality of life we have in America. Yeah. All right. Amen. Okay. All right. Naomi, please. Thank you.
Lost the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gain the world but lost the Savior, would my gain be worth the lifelong strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with a Christ-filled life? Had I wealth and love in fullest measure, and a name revered both far and near, yet no hope beyond, no harbor waiting, where my storm-tossed vessel I could steer. If I gained the world but lost the Savior, who endured the cross and died for me, could then all the world afford a refuge, wherever in my anguish I might be? Without the Savior, mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity, how dark without Him, only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without the Savior, it be. Oh, to face the valley's gloom without him, and without him all eternity. The joy of having all in Jesus, what a balm the broken heart to heal. There a sin so great, but he'll forgive it, nor a sorrow that he does not feel. If I had but Jesus, only Jesus, nothing else in all the world beside. Oh, then everything in mine in Jesus, for my needs and more, he will provide.
You've got to sing at least one more of it. Please.
If I gain the world but lost the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gain the world but lost the Savior, would my gain be worth the lifelong strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with a Christ-filled life?
Yeah, what shall it gain, profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What a message. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Brother Bill, would you like to... Oh, you're going out. You want me to lead this next? All right. Well, you can lead. Yes, you come up here, brother, and the children will go out. Thank you. The hymn is hymn number... What? 598, Standing on the Promises. 598, please.
Okay, we'll all stand. Sing 598.
Standing on the promises of God, standing.
Kindly take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 7. We have some wonderful thoughts to bring to your attention. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We make no apologies about this, but it's good for me to say from time to time that, you come closer to me. I'm speaking so loudly. Okay, we'll do what we can, sister. What we need to do is help our sister to... Maybe we could get some phones. Is this better to you now? Maybe he turned me up. Okay. Gene, as long as we've known each other, Ed Young always turned me down, see? And I would shout more. But these people turned me down and they don't give me a chance to... But anyway, thank you very much, brother. And you'll notice also that Dwayne, as soon as the service is off, he turns me off, period, completely. Now we're trying to school him to leave me on the PA system until I'm at the door anyway. Thank you very much. Can you hear me now, sister? Okay, thank you very much. Nice to have you with us today. Thank you for coming. Let's just have a word. Come on in. Is Dane with you also?
No.
He's not. Well, you come up here and sit next to Matt then. Yeah. He'll keep you there. Okay. Thank you very much. Nice to see you, Ryan. Yeah. Let's have a prayer, please. Lord, we just want to thank Thee for Thy love to us and the privilege to be here. Thank You that Jean is with us, and I pray that the message will go out in such a way that... her heart will listen through her ears to hear the word of God and be blessed. And for all of us, Lord, we pray that we might profit from our gathering today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. I almost got sidetracked with my sister's statement to me. What I wanted to say to you is that we have a number of meetings in this church. And actually... I've said this before, but I'm going to repeat it. If a person would come in Sunday school and morning meeting and the evening meeting and the Wednesday meeting and the men's Saturday prayer meeting, and now we've got two other opportunities. Matt is teaching on Monday nights, which tomorrow night will be at David Yanga's apartment. It started with Mark, then went over to our brother Matt's place, and now it's at David's place. But seek it out, go there. So that's the sixth opportunity. And then if you still are hungry, on Friday night at Lem's apartment, there's another outreach ministry. So this is why I discourage people from going to other churches or other Bible studies. We've got plenty right here if you take advantage of it. It's up to you. It's like when my wife puts the food on the table, she said, doesn't ask me whether I like it or not. She prepares all the things I do like. And I eat. And yesterday at Michelle's gathering, I took more than I should have. But I finished it. And there was a baklava that, Brother Kornelakis, that baklava was out of this world. And her father brought two more. But now James was sitting next to me and Matt, and I couldn't feel that I should have two baklavas when they hadn't had any. So James very quickly took one, see? Well, not really. But he did take one without much urging. But this brother did have pity on me, and he wanted me to have that. And we had some words between each other. But finally, I encouraged him to take it. But I've been sorry ever since.
I have.
No, that was really wonderful. But what I want to say to you, dear friends, that everything we have here is centered around the Word of God. And it's such a blessing. And I want to remind my brethren who didn't come yesterday that Brother James Widgeon gave a wonderful lesson. And since his name is James, he said, let's turn to James. Well, we'd already turned to James, but this is the book of James. Now, he's spoken from that book many times, but it's always been something that was helpful. And so we read the first chapter of James in the men's prayer meeting. And then, as always, as far as I know, there's a little pause, and the brother who leads the lesson stops and he looks around, and oftentimes it is to me, and I say, does anybody else want to say anything? And so there are comments. Yesterday we had several comments. I must tell you what happened, because it goes right along with what I want to preach about today. And by the way, my wife comes home and tells me what James says in the Sunday school. So you better be careful, brother, because she's taking notes. But it's always something good. And last night I called Brother George Jordan, and he says, well, I'm busy on Philippians chapter 3, because that's our Sunday school lesson for tomorrow. And that was interesting. You see, it's such a blessing to gather around the Word of God. That's our purpose in coming to this church. As we advertise, if it's Bible you want, come to Fellowship Bible. And we don't have anything else. We don't have nice chandeliers. We don't have a nice choir. We don't have a lot of things. But we do have the Bible. And we do have the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our whole aim and objective. Well, anyway, yesterday, I brought up this idea of temptation. Whereupon Mark Mayer, he says, well, there's a verse I want to ask a question. And that was on 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Well, okay, I don't know whether we satisfied him or not in our discussion. But along with this temptation idea came, well, what's the difference between temptation and testing? And we thought about that. I don't think we came to any conclusion. So I decided to go home and look it up. And I went to Dr. Webster. When Laura Klenk was here a few months ago, or about a year ago, I said, I need a new dictionary. Now, I expected a collegiate dictionary, something that's handable. And she came home with a big thing about this size from Borders. Or was it the other one? Yeah, Barnes & Noble. And for $29, she said, you can't miss on this one. It was a huge thing. The paper, you got to be very careful with. And it's not so nice after all. But anyway, I looked it up in there. And this is what I found. That the word temptation has to do with something which is leads a person to do sinful acts and activities. It's something like seduction. I was tempted yesterday with all those sweets. I should never have done it. It was good while it lasted, but the results have been very painful. But it's going after something which is unwise. it's not a good thing to do. You're being tempted. And that, of course, is discussed in James chapter 1. And then the word test. Unfortunately, the word pyrazo, which is used in James, is not the same as dokimazo. Dokimazo is a better word for us, test, because you can choose which is good or bad. And the testing is it's a means by which, says the dictionary, a means by which the presence and quality or genuineness of anything is determined. You have a test to find out whether you know what you're talking about in your Greek class. You have a test when you go to see whether you get a driver's license. And God tests us. He does not tempt us. May I say that again? God tests us, but he never tempts us. That's what James was teaching. So I would like to say that the temptation is basically from us, but the testing comes from the Lord. You may be going through some testing right now. As I could testify, I think the Lord tests me every day. He wants to find out what kind of quality I am, what kind of person I am, what my convictions and persuasions are. He tests me. He never tempts me. As James points out, the temptation really comes from the sin nature within you, which ultimately brings you to death. It was very, very helpful yesterday to be in that class, that study with those men, and then to say, well, I'm not just sure myself. I'm going to go and find out. And this morning, when we had the men's prayer meeting, by the way, you fellows who don't know what to do with yourself between Sunday school and church, come on into my office and we pray. And go in the other office there with my wife and pray to prepare your heart for coming into the service. I was elated to hear a couple of the fellows, Ben and also Mark, as they prayed, thanking the Lord for what was in the class that you were teaching and what they learned. My friend, if you don't go to the Sunday school, you're losing. If you're a brother and you don't come to the men's prayer meeting, you're losing. See, if you're here today, so I can't say anything about that. But if you don't come back tonight, you're going to lose. Every service that's available that you can without problems, make it. Please, be there. There are extenuating circumstances, I understand. But please, when you have an opportunity, take advantage and be there. Monday night, you might say, well, I think I'll just go and join that Bible class over there at David Yang's. I mean, what am I doing here? See, some people just feast themselves on things which are temptations. But you get tested. Get over there where you belong, see. Those are good things. And I think that it's very important for us to be reminded of that. And the reason I bring those things to your attention is paragraph number 3 in the notes. Paragraph number 3. We are always faced with choices. Everybody has choices. And the choices we make determine just how we demonstrate the quality of our life or what we're doing with our lives. I chose yesterday to go to that concert or that presentation of our sister's children. I chose to go there. I wasn't forced to go. I could have stayed home, but I chose to go. The people who did go, they chose to go there. Now, there may be extenuating circumstances. You say, I couldn't have gone. They're just impossible. That's right. But you choose, and you choose, and you choose, and you choose. People do make some terrible choices, and some make some good choices. I put some choices down there for you. I don't think we've got the time to read very many of them, but would you go to Numbers chapter 12? Numbers chapter 12. And this is a choice that Miriam made. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. And the Lord spake, verse 4, suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they came both forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Hey, what are you doing, Aaron? And what are you doing, Miriam? You keep your mouth shut. I've chosen Moses. Now be careful, my friend. Listen carefully. You've got a choice to make. You can choose for Moses or for Aaron and Miriam. The Lord chose Moses. And the last verse, number 11. "The Lord, I beseech thee, laid not the sin upon us. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed." Moses cried out unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, I beseech." Now listen to this. "And the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again." She had consequences because what she did was wrong. We make choices. All kinds of choices. I've listed there Moses over Korah. Boy, in that one, the ground just opened up and swallowed these guys. And Levi over others, chapter 17 of Numbers. Elijah over Baal. I'll tell you, one of the tremendous choices was Joshua. Do you remember Joshua chapter 24? Let's turn there, please. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. After all this man had done for the people of Israel, we read this. Well, you got to read chapter 23 to get the background, but I don't have the time to do that this morning. But listen to this. Verse number 13 of Joshua 24. "I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards, which ye planted, not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, well, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There's always a choice. Choices all along the way. We had three boys, well, four actually. One went to be with the Lord. We had a choice in Africa to stay with him there or bring him back here. I must say to you, we wish we stayed. We came and we lost him. We thought we were doing the right thing. A choice. A choice. It's incredible. Some of you have choices in regard to life partners. I thank the Lord that my life partner is still with me, and we'll celebrate this month 52 years. I think that was a good choice for both of us, and I thank the Lord for that. But you're going to make choices, my friend. Your choices about friendships, choices about your future. Mark, I know, is as a student in medicine, he doesn't know where he's going to have his residency. When David here came to us before he had a residency, he said, if I come to University of Michigan, I will come to this church. He came to University of Michigan, and he's been in this church ever since. Choices. Did you choose the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I tell you this so often, the joy that was in my heart when I went as a missionary to Zululand. And in the meetings, while we're in the meetings, somebody would be moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God, and they'd raise their hand and say, I choose Jesus. Yep, get to Jesus. It stayed with me all these years. I thank God for that. When did you choose Jesus? When did you say, I choose Him as my Savior? That, my friend, was the problem in the book of Hebrews. I've told you this 10 times. I'll say it 11 times. There were Jews who had believed, but now suffering came. And the question was, did I make the right choice? See? And this book was written to tell them, yes, you did make the right choice. So don't turn away. But you chose Jesus as your Savior. That was the best choice you could make. There's no other Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. You want to have forgiveness of sins? There's no other way to get forgiveness of sin but believe in the Lord Jesus. See? Choices. 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 The quality of what you're doing, that's a test. A temptation comes from yourself. And it evidences itself ultimately in death. But a choice, and you will bear the consequences of your choice, whatever they may be. This is a terrific message from the Word of God. Don't let it go by you, my friend. If you're a believer, thank God for it. If you're not a believer, I urge you today to believe, not to join this church. Church will never save you. But the Savior will save you. He died for you. And it's the grace of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood at Calvary which will give you eternal life. This is the only way. What has this all got to do with Hebrews chapter 7? Because God's telling these people to make a choice. Would you go back to Hebrews chapter 7 then, please? I don't want to review all that's in verses 11 to 22, but I urge you to do that because it's filled with some proofs why they have chosen the right one, the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, in verses 11 and 13 and 15, you get the word heteros, another one. Not Levi, not Aaron, not the priest of the Old Testament, but another one. In verse number 16, he says, your proper choice was the power of an endless life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word endless means, as your margin probably has, indissoluble life. It never stops. In verse number 16, he is made as a perfect tense, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but he was made once and for all, perfect tense. This is another, is a better one. In verse number 23, they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. And the old priest had, he died, but not the new priest, not the Lord Jesus. In verse 24, you'll notice he abides forever. Just the word forever in verse 24. It's translated in my Bible, ever, but it reads eistan aiona, same kind of a word that's in John chapter 11. He that believes on me shall never die. Forever, never, never. Same idea. And then in verse 24, also the word abides, you'll notice, is in the present tense. But this man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. The word has is present tense. And in verse number 24 also, he has an unchangeable priest. They made the right choice. They made the right choice. You may wonder, why did I read Numbers 35 this morning? Well, look at verse number 23. It says there, they, that is the Old Testament Aaronic priesthood, they truly were many priests, many. And if you look on your notes on the back page, I've given the many. There was Aaron, Eleazar, Phinehas, Abishua, Eli, Phinehas, Ahijah, Ahimelech, Abiathar, and Zadok. Just to give you a partial list. Those were before the exile. These are the ones who lived, but they died. They were transitory. They were temporary. They never stayed. Why? Because it says there in verse number 23, by reason of death. You had to have many priests because they kept dying. So, Paul is saying to these people, these Jewish people, you made the right choice. If you'd stuck with the old thing, you wouldn't have a priest. They kept dying. They were changing from time to time. But this man, in verse number 24, this man, I put in the notes that this is a pronoun, ha, just ha. It has nothing, it doesn't have the word for man. It just says it's a masculine form of the relative pronoun. This man, that's why man is in italics, because he continues forever. He continues. He doesn't change. He stays that way. Continuous means present tense. And forever, eistan aiona, he's ever there. He never changes. The other priests were there, they had many of them, and they died. But this one, he continues forever. He never stops. This is a very important truth. Don't forget it. The Melchizedek order, not the Levitical order or the Aaronic order. The Melchizedek order, it never stops, keeps on going. It's always there. You say, I don't care. Well, you better care, because if you don't have a priest, how can you draw near to God? Look back at verse number 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. You can only come nigh to God through the Melchizedek order. And he was from Judah, and not from Levi. He was stepping outside, altogether different. This is extremely important stuff. When it says in verse number 24, he has forever and ever and ever, and unchangeable, and indissoluble, inviolability, that priesthood of his is forever and ever and ever and ever. Can I bring it down to where you and I live? Please do not say I'm speaking against any particular group of people. I'm talking about their system. Sacerdotalism. sacerdotalism has to do with priesthood or priestly functions. Who is your priest? I heard on the radio the other day, this man said he was interviewing Father so-and-so. Father, I thought we only had one Father. It was in heaven, the Lord Jesus. Father. Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no Father down here. No priest down here. Sacerdotalism teaches that. I never read in my Bible that the Lord, as the priest, had a successor. He never passed on his priesthood to somebody. But that whole system is built on the fact that the Pope is indeed the successor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the vicar of the Lord here on earth. We don't have a priest on earth. We have a priest in heaven. Stop and think about that, friend. There is no priest here on earth. The only priest we've got is the one who's in heaven. And he's forever priest. He'll never die. So he'll always be that way. There will never be a substitute or somebody to take his place. He's the only one. Please, I don't want to shock you, but when did you last time say, "Thank you, Lord, for a priest, my Savior in the glory? He's my priest, and I thank him for it." You don't need somebody through whom to pray. You don't need somebody to take you to God. You're nigh unto God through your priest, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the point of these two verses. They died. He never dies. And we have this indissoluble relationship with him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's our Savior from sin, but he's our priest to draw us nigh to God. Does that mean anything to you? It should. So when somebody says, "Well, my priest says so-and-so," you haven't got a priest. Unless you want to look it up in the Bible and say, "Where does your priest talk? Tell me." There's no earthly priest. All we got is a heavenly one. Does this shock you? Does this get to your heart? I hope that it gets to your heart. It's no wonder the Lord was saying through the Apostle Paul to these believers, "You made the right choice. If you'd taken another choice, you would have been wrong. And the consequences are unbelievable." Paul was not tempting them. He was testing them. Testing the quality of their faith. The genuineness of their commitment. Have you got a genuine commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Have you got a genuine commitment to the Lord Jesus as your priest? I've been in different parts of the world, but I never believed that when I went down to Houston, Texas, I could be taken to all kinds of temples in Houston, Texas. Most of them are Buddhists. And there are priests running around there, down there, and various offerings being presented. I never felt so immersed in heathen worship as I did in that place, in Houston, Texas. But I've been also in places overseas, like in Tokyo, where they have the Buddha, a huge statue or replica of this man. We don't have that, my friend. We've been delivered from that. whether from that kind of a situation or from Roman Catholicism or whatever. We have one priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Read it for yourself. Let me read it for you again. They, the Aaronic priesthood, truly, genuinely, I'm telling you the facts, were many priests. They had a lot of them. Because they were not able to continue. Why? Because the priest died. So they couldn't continue. The man would die. And so another one would come. And that's why I gave you a list of some on the back here. But this man, who's this man? This one, the Lord Jesus. He's different. Because he continues forever. And that word continue, as you know from the King James Version, when it has a TH, continueth, is present tense. He keeps on this way. And then he puts on forever, eistan aiona, forever and ever and ever, just like eternal life. And he has present tense, an unchangeable, an indestructible priesthood. You cannot do away with his priesthood. It's there forever and ever and ever. Oh, my friend, how could I get to your heart this morning? Are you saved? You know what it means to have your sins forgiven through faith in his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that? If you don't, I beg you. Well, I don't want to break your arm, but listen, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We live in a world that has no truth. And all the truth that's being presented these days is what they call postmodernism. No absolute truth. We do have truth. And the truth is, it's in a person. The truth is that it's in a Bible, a book. And this truth has told us forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ. A priest forever, the Lord Jesus Christ. I urge you, don't put it off for a decision. Make your proper choice.
Fifty-two years ago, I met a young lady. She was 16 years old. She came to a prayer meeting. And I can still remember her red dress. And after a while, Helen Sharma introduced her to me. She says, this is my friend. Now, I had been going out with Helen for quite some time. Helen just wrote to us the other day. She's 83 years of age now. And she said, you are my friends. But Helen introduced me to Vivian. And I made a choice. I thank the Lord that this thing has kept going, you know. But when you understand these Jewish people, with all the problems they had, all the difficulties, you can understand why they say, maybe I didn't do the right thing. I suppose my wife says that sometimes. I don't know whether that was a good choice. But at any rate, here we are. But I remember when I chose the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I was 4 years old. I had all kinds of bumps along the way. But I stuck it out. Right to this day, and I praise the Lord for that. When did you make your choice? Do you remember? Come on. It's either heaven or hell. If you choose the Lord, you go to heaven. If you choose to stay the way you are, you go to hell. I mean, that's putting it very bluntly, but that's the way it is. Yeah. So when did you make your choice to say, I want to go to heaven? And then, this wonderful truth this morning. When did you make your choice to say, I give up all intermediaries, all that's around me, to say, you come my way and I'll get you to God. And instead of saying, I got my way, I can draw nigh to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. A priest after the order of Melchizedek. You want to remember that word, Melchizedek. I'm sorry that Bill isn't here this morning, because Bill Howson said he remembers me preaching that years and years ago when he was a small boy. And, well, I've never forgot this stuff, Dan. It's still very important. I have a priest after the order of Melchizedek. People say, why worry about this? Well, because it's so important. Do you realize that 39 books that tell you about the law and the Aaronic way of doing things put aside? Verse 19 puts it all aside. He says, but now we got a different way and another way. And the word which we studied a few weeks ago, heteros, another of a different kind, totally different. It's not the same as this over here. It's different. That's why verse number 22 says we've got a better testament, a better covenant. Listen, this is the best you can buy. May I just conclude with this rather homey thing? My sister here, Bernice, called me one day and she said, I've got a man who wants to sell me a car. And she said, I don't need this car. But she said, I told the man, I think my pastor could use it. She knew our car was kind of having troubles. So she called me. She says, you ought to buy this car, Pastor. Well, I wasn't so sure. And this guy would not let me take the car to have it checked out. Yeah. So we did the best we could and learned about this car. But Bernice was constantly, listen, Pastor, it's okay. Yeah, I can trust this man. Well, we bought the car. We made that choice. We jumped. I didn't know a thing about that thing. Thank the Lord, it's still going nicely. But I can tell you this, that if you take the Lord Jesus as your Savior, according to that Bible, you'll get the forgiveness of your sins. That's the promise that He gives. You will get it right away. And you'll be in the book of life as one who's forgiven. And then once you're inside, you can say, boy, what did I get? Well, I got forgiveness of sins, but I also got a high priest. And I can go right to God through him. And he's praying for me. Next Lord's Day, we'll take verse 25. He's able to, because he's the high priest, he's able to save them who come unto him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thought. I beg you this morning, what is your position before the Lord? Have you ever made a public confession of faith in Christ? Have you ever said, I thank the Lord for my priest? We give you a chance to do that. We'll sing the last hymn and then we'll pray together. What is it, Brother Matt, please?
531,
please. Shall we stand, please? Oh, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why Christ in His boundless love redeemed me for His own. But I know Him, I am believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me it did impart, nor how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. Yeah, before you sing that third verse, I hope you understand, we're like a big family in this place. That's why I referred to Mark, to Ben this morning, to Michelle, to her brother, to Bernice, to my brother Jim. We're just together, that's all. And this is the best place in the world to step out and say, I want you to know, you other people, that I am a true believer in the Lord Jesus. If you've never done that before, don't you want to do it this morning? To say, I want to take my stand for the Lord. And I want you to know that. You're amongst friends. You're not amongst a bunch of people who are going to jump all over you one way or another. It's a great privilege. When did you confess the Lord Jesus publicly? You remember, He did die publicly, didn't He? He was right there at the city square. And they threw stuff at Him. But if He did that for you, shouldn't you, amongst friends, stand up and say, hey, yeah, I'm one of you guys. If you've never done it, here's your chance. And in your heart, you can say, I just want to thank the Lord that I have a priest. He's not going to die on me. He'll be there tomorrow and until I go home to be with the Lord. See, that's why these people went in the cities of refuge. Until the priest died. They did. They had many of them. Endured to death. Yeah. But not this one. This one's different. Praise the Lord. Let's sing the last two verses. If we can help you, we invite you to come here. Take my hand and say, yes, I take my stand for the Lord today. In any way that we can help you, it's your opportunity. Here we go. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I am believing, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. But I know whom I am believing, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I remind you that our service closes, but the door of opportunity for you never does until your breath has gone out of your nose. So if we can help you or in any wise be contacted, please don't hesitate. Our phone is open. Brother Matt is here. We're here. We'd be glad to assist you in any way we can. Please don't forget you've got a choice to make. What is your choice? Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please. I want to kneel down in front of the congregation once again to pray together. Our loving Father, I thank Thee for my friends who are here this morning. And we're all here as a little family, encouraging one another in the things of God. And so we're here, Lord, in Your presence. And we thank You for this privilege. I pray, O God, be pleased to work amongst us. If there's something or someone this morning, I should say someone, who has never really believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and has the forgiveness of sins, if he hasn't done that, or she, oh, I pray, Lord, that they will do this right now and make it sure and definite that they're right with God. And Father, I pray for those of us who are real believers, genuine believers, that we will come once again to this wonderful realization that we have one priest, a forever priest, a priest who will never die, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, take these few words from these two verses and drill them into our hearts. May we never forget them. We thank Thee, Lord, for who Thou art. And Father, I would pray once again, if there's somebody who needs to do something in relationship to what we've talked about this morning, to make a choice, a proper choice, that You will not give them any rest throughout the day until they make those proper choices to give evidence that they are right with the Holy God. We ask this, Father, in the wonderful name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And for those of us who know Thee, Lord, help us to stand on the promises and never to give any idea that we're wavering or flagging. And we'll thank Thee and praise Thee for it. Thank You for this sweet time together and for the beautiful music which we've sung and also the special ministry of music that Naomi gave to us. We thank Thee, Lord. In Jesus' sweet and precious name I pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.